It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the 909 podcast. It's Niall and Andrea here with your weekly dose of what's happening in new music. Andrea, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. We're actually doing this on a Friday morning for the first time maybe ever.
And, I think ever.
So it's all a bit of a novelty. Usually we do our podcast after the end of every day, on Wednesday or on Thursday. And we're usually not as sprightly as this, I would say. But we'll see how it affects us.
I think this might be good. I think we can use this as as a sample to send into radio stations to give us an official morning show somewhere.
Yes. So we were just saying, you're eating barn brack because you cannot wait for Halloween, it seems.
I'm eating barn brack. I'm drinking a coffee and I have my pumpkin candle beside me. It's lit.
So on trend with your brand, actually. Spooky girl autumn.
Extremely on brand this morning. I went for a walk this morning and listened to the new Sufjan Stevens album. Like it's all happening in Dreyland right now, and it's nice. It's good.
Well, funny you should mention Sufjan Stevens, because that's the album we're going to be discussing shortly. Yeah. The Ascension is the new album from Sufjan Stevens. A lot of albums out today. As of Friday, we're talking the likes of Pillow Queens, which we reviewed last week. Sufjan, obviously, Public Enemy, Sylvain Esso, Action Bronson, Idols as well. Lots of things out to listen to, and we're going to be focusing on Sufjan today. Also, what happened last night, the Mercury Music Prize was announced. Did you see the winner?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I actually haven't. Will you just tell me everything that happened at the Mercury Prize?
Well, see, here's the thing. Because it's 2020 and there's no public events, it happened on the one show on BBC, and that's how it was announced. It was very strange. There was no, any sort of gathering at all. It was like, here's somebody talking about butterflies, and then here's the announcement with Annie Mac. It was like something actually RTE would do with the Choice Music Prize, where they shove the Choice into some other show or some other radio show. It was very strange to see kind of it relegated like that in a way. It's very unusual. I just found it very unusual to be like, oh, look, here's Annie Mac on the one show talking about to announce the winner.
What time did this happen at?
7 p.m. last night.
Okay.
So, I don't know. The one show is like the lifestyle magazine kind of evening show on BBC. It's kind of, if Alan Partridge was a real person, that's what he would be presenting. But it was very strange. The winner ended up being Michael Kiwanuka for his album Kiwanuka, which
that's great news.
Yeah, I think it's a good shout. It was, as I was saying, I think it was kind of an album that passed me by last year because I just didn't get to it till then, really. Mm. But I got a vinyl copy of it this year, and I've been listening to it a fair bit. I think it's really, really good, and it's a much deserved winner. I mean, winning over the likes of, I mean, what was on the list was Dua Lipa's album. Could have been a good shout. Laura Marling was on it. Porridge Radio and Sports Team, Kano, Anna Meredith, Georgia, Seek and Thrill is another album I really, really love. Lanterns on the Lake, Moses Boyd, Charlie XCX, Stormzy, and then Michael Kiwanuka. So
I would have put money on Stormzy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think those big commercial albums have ever really seemed to win those kind of prizes.
Oh, I suppose, actually, really. Yeah, that's true.
Just had to, it seems we're recording in the morning, we just had to pause for a second there because I got some post. And one
unboxing,
is
unboxing.
So we're going to open it in the next few minutes because I have a feeling what it is.
Okay.
So I was saying, Michael Kiwanuka's album, Kiwanuka, was the winner of the Mercury Music Prize. I think it very much deserved. I looked at the odds. There was odds just beforehand, and he was odds on favorite to win. So
okay,
I think that's a fair shout. So
that's good. I might go and listen to that album again. I haven't listened to it in months and months, and I think I only gave it a couple of listens, but I did really, really like it. So yeah, really glad he won. That's great.
Yeah, and I think it actually leads into the what just appeared at my door, possibly, and leads to my reason to be cheerful this week, which is a brand new album from the band called Salt, which came out last Friday, a surprise release called Untitled Rise. And I think Michael Kiwanuka was on, this is the fourth album they've done in 2 years, and the second one this year. They released one in May or June, and this is the second one. So I believe that what's currently in my hands is actually their album that they released in May, because I've been waiting for this all week. So yeah, speaking of vinyl, I did get the Jai Paul vinyl. Finally, it arrived. Scent. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's really there.
So I'll tell you what happened with me.
Yeah.
Because there was a 15-month delay with this Jai Paul album, it was sent to the address of my old office from which I was made redundant last, like, almost a year ago. And I just didn't realize that I'd ordered it while I was there. So it got sent to that office, and a friend of mine who still works there just sent me a photo and was like, did you order a record here? I was like, I did. Yeah. 15 months ago, I did. So I still don't have it. It's now in his house. No, it's in his house now. And I'm going to have to wait until I see him to get it off. It's just such a nightmare.
I can tell you it was worth the wait for the smell of jasmine off the record, which is so faint as to barely be the present.
But is it there, though?
I don't know. I feel like why didn't they just send the cardboard and just leave it at that? I don't know what they were. Like, it's not necessary.
No.
Do you know what they should have done? And this is something that there's an Irish producer called Moving Still who released a EP or a 12-inch last year. And it was called With Oud. And Oud is like a kind of a fragrance. And he had a little vial of it with it. And I thought that
would make
really
perfect sense.
It was like a really nice thing. So it turns out it is the Salt album that arrived.
Yay!
So this is, they had, Salt is an album that... Untitled was released in June, and then on Friday last they released the second one of the year, another actually brilliant album. And that album has been, because it was a surprise and I didn't know it was coming, it's been giving me a lot of joy this week. It's a bit more upbeat than this one, and very much like, if you want music of the time but don't want to be maybe brought down by it, I think the Salt album is a good shout, because it's very much about Black Lives Matter and the black struggle, but also it's quite, the new one especially is a bit more, has a bit more disco vibes to it, even though it's like they're trying to escape a bit, and it's a bit of escapism. I think it's a brilliant album, and so I'm glad to get this one.
That looks lovely. That looks very nice, very colourful on the inside.
Yeah, lovely album. So there we go. Great. Salt album. That's my reason to be cheerful this week.
What timing? My reason to be cheerful this week is that I put up the Halloween decorations.
You did not.
I did. I put them up on Wednesday. I've had enough now. I've had enough of waiting. This is early even for me. It was the 23rd I put them up. And the place looks great. I've got little skeletons. I've got little pumpkins, little ghosts. They're all up and they're bringing me so much joy, especially in the evenings when I light all the candles. And I'm starting to make my spooky October like film list of all the films I want to watch. The night that I put them up, I watched Ghost. It was a great time. And, you know, time is a funny thing, especially this year. So if you want to put up your Halloween decorations, just put them up. If you want to put up your Christmas decorations, put them up. Nothing matters. So just find joy where you can. And I find joy in having brack and pumpkins and just nice things.
Speaking of finding joy, I think I've obviously been missing the club and going out a lot, so much so that last Friday when I was at home, I got some of my tube lights that I have that are like, you know, can respond to sound, and I put them up and I just listened to tunes all night. And
you had a disco?
I had a little like sit down private disco in my living room. Yeah.
I love that. That's great.
It was just playing good tunes and downloading some stuff that I wanted. And I watched a couple of, there's a John Talabot Boiler Room that I love from Viva Festival, just like amazing tunes, and most of them I can't find the titles of or anything like that. You can't Shazam them, nobody's found IDs for them. It's just like, you just don't know what they are. There's like a song from Miami Vice on it that I'm just like, I don't know what this is, but it's cool as fuck. Like, there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on. You're like, I don't know what this is. So it's a real proper, like, exploratory DJ set, because you don't even know what the music is half the time. So I'm really enjoying that. That was a nice thing. I think it was really, like, felt, because tonight was supposed to be the night I was supposed to be DJing in Hang Dai before the restrictions were brought in last week. So I was really feeling it last week when the lockdown level 3 was announced for myself. I was just like, I just want to go and play some tunes somewhere that the music is loud. And I think that's kind of like been my theme this week, is just a lot of that kind of feeling. We aren't going to be doing a Lumo live stream this month, because I think the three of us just need a break. And also we all wanted to be in the same room. And because lockdown, we can't again. And we're just like, you know what? We're going to go into Tengu maybe next month and do a private thing and just like do a live stream there. Just because even for ourselves, we want to be in a club. And I guess I was kind of underestimating the time it takes to set up those kind of events, those live stream events, like a whole afternoon set up in a green screen and stuff like that. And then, you know, actually playing and then bringing it all down. And you're just like, I just want to play some tunes somewhere nice.
I know.
That's what I'm currently thinking about a lot. But I have booked a couple of tickets for gigs upcoming as well. Nilo has announced three socially distant Workman's Club gigs to a console.
And an album. So excited for that. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, so I bought two tickets to that. I'm going to CMAT, which I bought ages ago. And I think I have something else on the line somewhere. Anyway, just nice to see some sort of small gigs coming back. Hopefully we'll be able to go to them all.
Yeah.
Have you thought about going to any of those events?
No, I'm still, because I live a good bit out of town, I don't really like getting the bus. So I'm sort of just waiting a little bit. I would love to see CMAT, but it didn't work out at the time. When it was time to buy the tickets, I was still a bit nervous about going into the city centre, so I didn't. But it's okay. It's fine. I hope people start doing a few live streams again, because I was enjoying those. I know that Denise Chyla and Sorka Richardson, Merle and God Knows, are doing something in the National Concert Hall.
This Sunday.
So I'll definitely check that out. I think it is ticketed. But I mean, that's the thing about those things. Like, it's not going to sell out, I don't think, because it's like,
no,
it can't. You can just, everyone can watch it. So it's great. Yeah. So I'll probably watch that this weekend and maybe have myself a little disco while watching that.
Yeah, there's another thing on Saturday. There's a good few. I started doing the live stream recommended events kind of roundups again, because there's a number this week. There's a Gotta Tell You, the Irish Pop in a Pandemic by our friend Lou Brew, who's bringing together CMAT, Pure Grand, Jack Rua and Go Blood Woman for a Music Town event, which
is brilliant.
Be broadcast on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Again, that's another, I think it's a tenner for a ticket. There's also, Denise Schroeder, God Knows Marley and all friends as part of the National Concert Hall Imagining Ireland series on Sunday. I think after a bit of fatigue with some of the live stream stuff, I've seen a couple of really nice ones, and one which I'll talk about in a bit because it's one of the songs of the week this week. But yeah, we'll get to that.
Cool.
But yeah, it's good to see. I think it's nice that people are, you know, I've given some money to some live events and live streams if I'm around, and it's nice. I think it's nice, just a nice feeling to be able to support people.
It is. I think so too. I think it's important to do it if you can.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to talk album of the week. Our album of the week this week is from Sufjan Stevens. It is called The Ascension, his first album in 5 years and the eighth overall. Let's play a bit of a track called Tell Me You Love Me Now, and we'll come back and discuss the origins of the album. Right, that was Sufjan Stevens. The album is called The Ascension. A bit of background, I guess, to this album. It's much more synth and drum machine driven than previous releases from Sufjan, although he did have a instrumental album earlier this year that kind of might lead to some of this kind of music. He told The Quietus around The Ascension in an interview, and there are no stories, no characters, nothing representational, no metaphor, no self-mythology. I like the messages. I feel like the messages must be clear and coherent, almost editorial. He described this as his lush editorial pop album. And I guess for context, what has he been doing in the last couple of years? We had the last album that really was a big release for him was Carrie and Lowell, and an album about his mother and partner. And then I guess the other thing about that, like, he's been releasing on Asthmatic Kitty for a long, long time, the label, independent label, and that label is co-run by Lowell, right? Isn't that who this is? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
His stepdad. So there's quite a lot going on in terms of like personal stuff there with that album. I think this album feels to be a very different release compared to that kind of thing. Like I said, lush editorial pop album. A lot of the reasons why it forms drum machines and synths was that he had to move out of his studio in Brooklyn, I think it was, and a lot of the instruments went into storage, and as they were in storage he was playing a lot with drum machines and synths that he had instead. So this is maybe why the last couple of things we've heard from Sufjan have been this kind of vibe. Andrea, anything you'd like to add about Sufjan as a as an Uber fan?
I think Sufjan is one of those artists who I tend to place a lot of trust in him, and if I don't quite get something right away, I'm sort of okay with it. Like, I remember with Age of Ads, which was another sort of electronically driven album, and was a little bit more detached lyrically than the likes of Come On Feel the Illinois or Carrie and Lowell. It took me a while to kind of come around to that, because I had been used to a certain thing with Sufjan, but I think I I trust him so much that I sort of trust that I will come around to something. Do you know that kind of way? This album, I don't know if I agree with what he says there, what he said to The Quiet is there, that it's not, that it's not a personal album, that there aren't any characters. I think
he's the character.
Yeah. I mean, I find this to be quite the, like, in itself, quite a character study. From one end of the album to another, there's definitely a journey. And he is an artist who tends to make conceptual pieces. Like, it's kind of his thing. And I think that this is, I mean, it mightn't be on first listen as conceptual as you might, that as it actually is. I think that's my own interpretation of it, but I think it is actually quite a conceptual album about faith and loss and America and politics and how all of those things kind of intertwine within the kind of complex contradictions that come with being an American Christian who is not aligned with how American Christianity is kind of playing out at the moment. If that makes sense.
I think that's a fair statement. Yeah, it seems like for me here, the character is himself and how he is reacting to what's going on around him. And yeah, I think, you know, it's quite, as you would expect, maybe not what you'd expect, but he's done it before with previous albums like Seven Swans. There's been a lot of, you know, religious imagery, religious phrasing, a lot of, like, I think when he's saying it's an editorial, lush editorial pop, I'm going to give mean his lyrics are more direct than they've ever been before. And he says, every song title on the album is a cliche. I decided to embrace catchphrases and cliches and figures of speech. Instead of being benign platitudes, I felt like they could speak for deeper wisdoms and act as beacons that me work through all these issues. There have been a lot of loss of trust in institutions and governments and society and corporations. All of that has been called to question. I felt like I couldn't really speak for all these issues objectively or abstractly or on a macro level. So I decided to just start writing in declarative statements, keeping it really, really simple. So that does kind of make sense why. But I think musically here, there's a lot going on. I found this a bit of an Everest this week. This is my Everest. I was like trying to listen to this all week, and I don't know if I was ever in the mood for it, but I just found it quite exhausting and quite expansive and difficult to burrow myself into it. It is 80 minutes long, which is quite long. It is 15 songs in total. A lot of very busy electronic instrumentation and arrangements. It's kind of, if you were to succinctly sum up the sound of this album, I would say it's kind of electronic orchestral hymns. It's kind of has that vibe to it. It changes between songs. It goes from quite industrial beats to, you know, quite soaring kind of gospel choir vocals. In many ways, it is analogous to The Age of Ads, because it's quite large and grandiose in lots of ways. But I think musically lyrically it's much more personal here. And I actually don't know how I feel about this whole thing. I found it quite hard to listen to all the way through. And maybe that's because I've been having a up and down week myself, and one of these songs, Ativan, is about Ativan is a drug for the treatment of anxiety and insomnia. And I was like, this song is quite anxious itself. There's a lot of those kind of like, it's not very, you know, a lot of Sufjan's music can be quite soothing, even though it's addressing quite big topics or difficult topics. And there's very few of those moments here where you're really like, I'd say, what song is it? The Ascension, the title track itself, it's more kind of traditional, and it kind of feels like a traditional Sufjan song. And I think for that, it is very beneficial. It's something I get out of it. Then there's a lot of songs here that kind of seem, there's a couple of songs here that reference Lamentations is an interesting one. It's like, that's Mad World by Gary Jules, right? Like, that's what that melody is.
Oh. Right?
Is that intention? That's so close that it's
that's
like,
not something that I picked up on, actually.
Right.
But now that you mention it and I'm thinking of how it goes, I can probably hear that.
Yeah, because his voice is quite similar to Gary Jules in the way that he sings it as well. Yeah, there was a few of those kind of moments where I was like, is this supposed to be like this? Is this supposed to reference this song? Although one of the references I don't think Sufjan would be going for, but which one is it? Goodbye to All That, which is a song named after Joan Didion's 1967 essay about leaving New York, is melodically very similar to a very surprising song, which is a Code Lion song called In a Perfect World. So those kind of things I would not expect.
We can probably let Sufjan away from that one. I imagine.
I think the other one
hasn't heard the Code Lion song.
No,
yeah.
But it was just like, oh, that's the same melody as the chorus of that Code Lion song. That's always on the reality TV or like Pop Idol songs.
Yeah. So I think, like yourself, I did find this a difficult listen at times throughout the week because of, you know, gestures broadly at the world and at self. Maybe I didn't need music that would heighten my anxiety. But I think that there's absolutely a space for that kind of music if you are in the right headspace. So, I mean, I went out this morning for a run with this album because I just wanted to kind of listen to it in a different context outside of my bedroom and just like out amongst the world and the people and the dogs. And yeah, something in it actually clicked with me this morning that hadn't just yet. That like there was a few songs on it that I did keep going back to throughout the week that I really like. Let me see which ones they are. I have them written down here now somewhere. But I mean, I think like I was saying at the beginning of our chat about the album, I think that even though I found it difficult to listen to during the week, I never really lost that trust in him because I know that these are great songs, but I also know that they're coming from a place of like quite serious existential anguish, I suppose. And that's never really going to be an easy listen. I mean, we've known Sufjan as a believer and as a Christian in his previous work. And I think that what he has done before with his Christianity is kind of celebrate it in a way that is accessible for people who aren't religious, but also likens it to love and to nature and to things that are actually kind of universal. But I think on this album, we're actually being given insight into the work that's involved with being a believer or a Christian or a religious person. Like how does one make sense of a religion and a God that has in America been co-opted by a faction of politics that spreads hate and exclusion? And that's a historical thing as well. And I mean, that's something that I think he's grappling with now. And it seems like there are moments on this album where I think that he's actually turning to a kind of an individualism, which is surprising. I mean, like some of the lyrics on Tell Me You Love Me, my love, I've lost my faith in everything. Tell me you love me anyway. And it is really quite heavy, but I think the directness in the lyrics really helped me to understand that a bit more, because I'm not a religious person. I don't go in for all of that. I can kind of take what he's saying, like because they're slightly cliche, it's helping me to understand his viewpoint from a place where I can understand it. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? And I think that, I mean, he is direct and open about his doubts. And I think that there are moments on the album where he comes back around again. And it is really dizzying. It's kind of like you're sitting with somebody who's having a deep crisis of self and a deep crisis of belief, and just trying to get it out. And I think while it's sometimes difficult, I think it is at times so, so rewarding. Like that song I mentioned there, Tell Me You Love Me, there's a point towards the end of the song before the outro where the lyrics shift to I'm Gonna Love You Anyway, and just like the music swells and all of these all of this amazing kind of vocal harmonies come in, and it is genuinely such a moving moment of hope on an album that is kind of not really that hopeful. And I loved that. And I think like you said, the Ascension, which is, I think, by a country mile, the best song on the album. Like, I think it's so beautiful and so heartbreaking. Like those lyrics, now it strikes me far too late again that I was asking far too much of everyone around me. That I should answer for myself as the Ascension falls upon me. And I think that shift to individualism is completely understandable from his viewpoint. So I think that shift to individualism is understandable from a person from a viewpoint of, like, he's never really come out and said, like, I am a Catholic or I am a this. He's just, I think he takes learnings and teachings from a lot of different aspects of Christianity and a lot of different aspects of different religions. And I think here in the Ascension, he's just sort of turning a bit inwards and searching and trying to find what his own philosophy and what his own theology is. And I think he does it so, so well. And it's a beautiful melody. It's definitely the most Sufjan song on the album. And I found it really... I found it really comforting. And I mean, especially at a time when all we can kind of do is like, we have this kind of weighty sense of individualism on our own actions now. Like, we can worry about the pandemic in a broad sense, but the only thing we really have control over is what our actions are and what we are doing. And I think while Sufjan is coming at that idea from a completely different angle, it definitely feeds into that kind of idea that it's not necessarily selfishness to look out for yourself. And I like that. I like that a lot. I think that song is absolutely stunning. And there's a few on it that I do really, really like. I love Make Me an Offer I Cannot Refuse, the opening track. I think it sets up the album really well. There's a lot of kind of despondent lyrics here as well, like show me the face of all of my dreams, was it all for nothing, make me an offer I cannot refuse, I move like the ghost of a hazardous demon. Like, there is a lot of these kind of very religious but kind of unsettling imagery, and I think I'm kind of okay with that. I think where the album kind of drags for me, or not drags, but where I find it difficult, are the songs where I don't get to hear a lot of him, and it's very kind of drudgy, heavy on the music side of things. I think that
it is quite heavy in a lot of ways. It is very downbeat. It is quite busy as well, and. Mm. Sometimes I feel like he's getting a bit... I think one of the things here that, like, when it gets to Goodbye to All That, what's so noticeable is, like, that lyric, obviously it's inspired by the Joan Didion essay. So, here I am alone in my car, and you're like, whoa, what's going on here? You're like, all of a sudden he's painting a picture and a scene, and you're like, it just feels so jarring compared to what's been going on, because it's kind of like the old Sufjan. It's like... here's a character, here's a study, here's a place, here's a thing, like, you know, crying in your car, crying in your van, and here he is alone in the car, and you're like, all of a sudden you get a sense of place where everything about this album is internal, and it's unmoored from a kind of location, and it doesn't really feel like, it's more concerned with what's been happening within, and using a lot of language, like, you know, a lot of religious language, especially fill me with the blood of Jesus, clean my plate till he receives us, separate the colors from the black. How do you find the video game fits into this?
I had a funny feeling that it would make a lot more sense to me in the context of the album, and it really, really does. I get it now, I think, yeah.
It's relatively simple, I think, compared to a lot of what's going on here, which is why it maybe jars me a bit.
Mm.
You know, it's almost like a bop. It's like a super bop, you know, and it's like, this is strange.
It's a slight moment of like musical levity, but I think the lyrics are just as... are just as critical of the kind of the outer world as a lot of the rest of it is. Like, I think, yeah, it makes a lot more sense to me. It makes sense where it is on the album as well, because it is that kind of, you know, we're looking at relatively surface level things like celebrity culture and idolizing, like creating idols out of humans. And while that is a very deep kind of religious argument, it is also something that we can just, you know, open a magazine. Is that an outdated reference? Do people still open celebrity magazines? Or we can just go on to our Instagram recommended page and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's something that, yeah, it's relatable to all, you know, but it's also in pure Sofyan style, relatable to people who have had religious crises in their lives as well. So yeah, I think it's ultimately like quite a rewarding album. It's quite a complex album. I read a few reviews of it who say that, you know, the language is a lot more simple and direct, and I don't really buy that. I actually think that the lyrics in this are the best thing about it. And I don't think Sofyan Stevens is ever simple and direct. Like, there's always so many layers to what it is that he's saying. He doesn't use a word here that is, that's by mistake or by accident. And I think that there's really a lot to delve into with these lyrics. If you can get it at a time when you're kind of existentially feeling okay, it's an amazing album to listen to from start to finish. And I mean, the reward you get at the end with Ascension and America. And I mean, yeah, we haven't even talked about America, which is the 12 minute and 30 second album closer, which is just, it's such a journey in itself, you know. It's a journey within a journey, and I think it's the perfect closer for this album. I do think that it is long, but I don't mind that. I don't mind it at all. There are probably some songs I take off it, but
You have to put some work into this one for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
to do so.
Yeah, I don't think Sofyan Stevens like should be concerned with making like tight 10 track albums for consumption kind of thing. I think he just doesn't make that kind of music.
That's kind of what he was doing in advance of this one, as if like, you know.
Yeah, but in his own special way, like,
yeah. It's an 80 minute long album, and you're like, the best song is like 65 minutes in.
Yeah, I don't mind that though. I feel there's a sense of reward when you get to it. It's like, oh, you've listened this far. Here's a little treat for you. Here's a song that sounds like one of my oldies, you know. What do you think of the... Do you hear the Ariana Grande influence here? Or?
No, I think that was it was quickly deleted because it was obviously not correct.
No.
I don't know where that came from, and that was... I'm going to blame Gorilla vs. Bear for that one.
Yeah. Another thing about this album is that I do sort of miss... having some more foregrounded female backing vocals or duet sounding vocals on this, because that's something that I definitely associate with his sound. And I think that he uses that to bring really interesting and new perspectives to a song. And I did miss that a little bit, because this is very much just Sufjan kind of pitching himself.
It definitely feels
down.
Like he made this on his own without like almost anyone hearing it for until it was finished.
And
perhaps that's true. He's that kind of artist that could do that.
Mm.
But yeah, certainly as with all Sufjan albums, another to explore and spend time with, and get what you want out of it if you want to put the time in.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be going back to this so soon because I've spent a lot of time with it this week. Mm. But maybe in a while I'll come back to it. There's a lot to listen to this week. A lot to listen to.
True. So do you, at this point in time, do you like this album?
I honestly don't know if I can answer that question. And that's why I think I struggled with it all week, because I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I'm enjoying this. I don't know. And that's why I found it quite a tough one this week. Mm. Sometimes I'm not in the mood for these things.
Did you?
You feel like you have to formulate an end opinion, and I don't feel like I have one here yet.
I feel like we landed similarly on the Thom Yorke album, Anima, that I absolutely adored, but it was so hard going that we both found it really, really difficult to listen to. But I think we just landed differently on it, like, after the fact.
Yeah, I sometimes need, maybe I just need a few more weeks with or more listens and more spaced out listens, and I think that's fair. I mean, the nature of reviewing an album, I think, you know, even if you've had it for 2 weeks, sometimes you're just not quite ready to give a full report on it, and I think that's okay. So
I think so too.
Yeah, okay, let's play a bit of The Ascension. Why not? Right, that was Sufjan Stevens' album. It's called The Ascension. That was the title song from it. That was our album of the week this week. As I mentioned, other albums out this week include Idols, Pillow Queens, which we reviewed last week, and anyone who joined our Patreon this week would also have got an exclusive listen to Child of Prague from the album A Day in Advance. Just a little extra bonus for you there. So we'll be doing more of those kind of things soon. Patreon.com/909. I appreciate all your support. And Keane Kavanagh also has Dog Person, which I love the title of, out this week, full length on Soft Boy Records as well. There's also new albums from Sylvain Esso and many, many more. I think next week we have the likes of Roisin Murphy releasing an album. I think that's the main one. I've actually listened to that one, and I've been enjoying it so far. So look, loads. As we were just saying there, there's a lot of things going on. Public Enemy had a new album out this week, so there you go. It's all happening.
Mental week.
Right, it's time for songs of the week. Our first song this week is from Soda Blonde. It is called "Love Me World."
Virtual connection is not appealing. Will you be my wife and love? And when it gets too tough, I'll keep you away. Be the bullet in my side to remind me that love is pain. Love me, world, I want.
Love it.
Okay, that was Soda Blonde. The song is called Love Me World. They are one of the bands who did a live stream gig this week. Actually, I did tune in and watch it. I don't know where it was from, but I was very impressed. It looked like a workman's kind of vibe, but like a fancy workman's place. It was like somewhere on the Keys. It looked to something like that, like a fancy hotel almost. Maybe it was one of those places, I don't know. But very good. It was obviously a pre-record, but it looked really good. And they played like 8 songs, including this. It was kind of a launch for this song, which probably made me kind of go back and listen to their Isolation Content EP and the first few things they've released. Obviously, Soda Blonde are 4 of the 5 members of Little Green Cars, and came back under this new name late last year, referencing the likes of Fleetwood Mac and things of that ilk in their sound. And I really like this song a lot. I think it's got that lovely hook. It's got that lovely, it's very memorable. I found myself singing this week. And I also must say the live show was very impressive. And Faye, the singer, wearing a big red plastic dress in it, looked brilliant as well. So
good,
you know,
job.
They're doing great things.
That's good. I don't know this band that much. I know kind of their history and how they formed and stuff, but I think this might be like probably one of the only songs I've listened to of theirs, and I really, really like it. It's kind of a little bit 80s at times, which I like. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna be listening to more of this band. Is there an album?
There's one forthcoming, which will be out next year, I believe. And there's an EP and a few singles as well. So
cool. I'm gonna become a fan before then.
Yeah, I would urge you. Yeah, go and listen to the Isolation EP. I think it's there's some really good stuff on it. There's a couple of really good songs on it, in particular.
Cool.
Yeah, that's really good. So our next track is another album that was out this week from Fleet Foxes. Mm. As they must be. You must chime well with Fleet Foxes, considering the album Shore was released on the autumn equinox, and it is dry season. It is autumn season, so I feel like this is your kind of vibe. This is the opening track from the album Shore, called Wading in Waist High Water.
Summer all over, blame it on timing. Weekend in August water. No sight in morning, sunlight covered over. Waiting inside a fire. And we're finally aligning, more than maybe I can choose.
That was the opening track from Fleet Foxes' album Shore. Obviously, it doesn't have Robin Peckenhall singing that song. It is Awade Akir who sings on that one. That's the opening track, but nice setting scene for a very autumnal album. Fleet Foxes are a very autumnal band, and like you're just saying there, you turn on the heat this week.
Yeah, we put on the heat timing yesterday. Yeah, because it was so funny because earlier in the day I was like, okay guys, to my housemates, I was like, place bets now, what date is the heat going on for the first time? And then like cut to 3 or 4 hours later, we were like, it's today, we're doing it today, we're putting on the heat today. It is freezing.
You planted the seed.
Yeah, 100%. You're dead right about the Fleet Foxes autumnal vibe thing. I do really, really like this band. I've never gone like full in on them, but I used to listen to them a lot. So when I saw this album was released this week, I was very excited by that. I haven't listened to the album yet. I've only listened to this song just because I've been so like trying to get my head around Sufjan. I was like, I don't need to introduce another thing this week. So I'll probably listen to this like over the weekend and stuff, maybe go for like a nice walk with it. But I really like what I hear so far with this. I think it's kind of brave to do an opening track without your lead singer.
Yeah, well, it does lead into the next song, which Robin is on. And I haven't heard the whole thing, I don't think, but I've heard a good lot of it. It's very nice. It's very autumnal. It's very like, I'm gonna light the fire and
eat a leaf.
Lie around. I booked a chimney sweep for my house this week. That's where I'm at.
Oh my gosh. I love it. That's so nice.
It's a busy season for the chimney sweeps. They can't come for another 2 weeks.
I don't have a chimney. I wish I had a chimney.
Yeah, I might be putting on the heat today as well myself.
I like a chimney sweep. But yeah, I am really excited to listen to this album. I think the first track off it there bodes well. A nice album to go for a walk with, I imagine. Just good vibes. It's a nice little, you know, I think a lot of people are finding it hard that, you know, yet another season is changing and we're still in this weird timeline. But it is really nice at this time of year to lean in to folk music.
I
find it helps. Light a candle, put up your Halloween decorations, fuck it.
So this is Fleet Foxes' first album since 2017's Crack Up. I think because quarantine and lockdown happened, actually it forced the band to kind of finish it, really. 15 songs, 55 minutes, recorded between Hudson, New York, Paris, Los Angeles, Long Island, and New York City itself from September 2018 to September 2020. So he just really finished it. Grizzly Bears, Chris Bear is involved, Hamilton Lighthouser, Kevin Morby's on this as well.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm not lying. This is like, why I'm like, it's made for you. And a sample of Brian Wilson is on it as well. So,
My God.
So there's lots of things. Oh, Hamilton Lighthouser and his family are on it. That's who it is on it. So.
Oh, this is great news. Oh, my God. This is fantastic. Okay, great. That's my weekend sorted.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
There you go.
I'm beaming.
Another reason to be cheerful.
Yeah.
Very good. That is Fleet Foxes. And sure, that song is called Wading in Waist High Water. Now it's time for the return of C-Matt. It is I Want to Be a Cowboy, Baby. If there's any artist this year in Ireland that has done great things for herself appear on the scene, I think C-Matt, among the likes of Denise Chyla and the Mary Wallopers, are prime names for who have like really made an impact this year. C-Matt, formerly of the band Bad C, now back as a solo artist. Is this the song that you love? Is this the one? Yeah, I thought so. Okay.
Yeah, I mentioned this song. I think when Another Day KFC came out, I had mentioned that there was also this song. And I think at that point it was already removed from YouTube, but this was a song that I think she used to write and record in a yoga studio. So I think she'd spend like the first half of her booking writing the song and then the second half recording it, and she put this one up, and I love this song. I love the lyrics in it. It's definitely like somewhat different to the ones that she's put out so far, but it still has that humor that just leads into that absolute devastation. Like, I mean, I can't think of anything like more sad yet more funny than the lyric "Always the cowboy, never the cow." Like that's, but it's like it's so heart wrenching, but so funny at the same time. Like she's really, really just clicked in to her sound and her voice as well. And I, again, like with the other two tracks she's put out, this is how I imagined it sounding. Like she, I think the songwriting itself is so good that even when you listen to her do that acoustic version, having never heard what the full production is going to sound like, you kind of like she gets across what she wants with it. And I think that this sounds really, really fantastic. I love it. I think it's great. Like C-Matt, like I'm a broken record with C-Matt. Like I think she's one of Ireland's most interesting artists.
We'll get her on the podcast to speak for herself sometime soon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, she's fantastic. She's very funny, very open, and very, very, very talented girl. Yeah, she's great. Woman.
Also a really a good song. I mean, and a song that is inspired by a vine is pretty good. So, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, this song is inspired by a vine of a man in a playground who just wants to be the cowboy. So if you look up, I want to be a cowboy.
I play the audio here, actually.
Oh, you have it. Oh, fantastic.
I want to be a cowboy, baby. I want to be a cowboy, baby.
Inspired by 6 seconds of something like that. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
That's a really good outcome. I mean, you see, you can get inspiration from anywhere.
Anywhere at all.
Why not even a Vine? And speaking of social media platforms, our final song of the week is a band called Magdalena Bay, who I discovered on TikTok.
Niall.
Yeah, I know, right?
Do you have TikTok?
I do have TikTok because I have to be down with the kids and see what's going on. But this came up, actually, it was Gorilla Versus Bear feature, Magdalena Bay a lot. And they had a really interesting little like video, really well put together about copyright infringement and sync licensing and stuff like that. And composition versus recording.
Hi, I'm in a band called Magdalena Bay. And last week, a brand named used one of our songs for an Instagram ad without our permission. That's illegal. So today we're going to talk about something called sync licensing.
I just thought it was cool. And then I went and listened to the songs and I was like, this is fun. I like this. This is just something, you know, something brand new. They're an LA duo. Let me just play this song first, the most recent one. This is called Wow. Okay, Magdalena Bay basically are Mika Tenenbaum and Matthew Lewin, an LA duo. What I like about them is basically like a more indie Charlie XCX kind of vibe. A really fun TikTok account if you're looking for how musicians should to do TikToks, if you're into that kind of thing. But also some really bright and fun DIY kind of pop videos as well, music videos. And to be honest, it was a bit of a brightness this week just to see something like this and be like, ah, somebody's having fun. And I enjoyed the vibe that they were putting across in both their TikToks and their music, and I appreciate it very much. So, yeah, look, sometimes you just need a bit of a silly, fun indie pop lift, and that's what they provided. Magdalena Bay is the name of the band, and that song is called Wow.
Wow.
Wow. So what else has been going on with you? What's been have you been reading any books or watching anything of interest this week?
I've been reading some books. I read the new Catelyn Moran book, which is called I can't remember what it's called. It's not How to Be a Woman, it's not How to Build a Girl. I'll find it now. But it's basically so Catelyn Moran brought out a book called How to Be a Woman, and it was a lot of, I think, white women and white girls' first introduction to feminism. is about a decade ago or so. And this is the follow-up in which she is kind of talking about feminism from the point of view of middle age. And it's really good. I reviewed it. I think the review is going to be out in the Business Post this Sunday if you're interested in it. But I really enjoyed it. Caitlin Moran has been... she is a bit contentious in feminist circles. I don't agree about everything she does. I don't agree with everything she says. And she's had some kind of slip ups in the past. But I think she probably tries her best. And she is very, very funny. And I do quite like her. Please don't come at me if you don't, because I don't have the energy to argue. But yeah, it's an interesting book. I also read Jane Fonda has a book out about climate change and she read Greta Thunberg's she saw what Greta Thunberg was doing with her climate strikes and all of the activism that she was doing, and Jane Fonda, who was like living and working in LA at the time, was like, okay, I'm going to actually move to Washington, D.C. And every Friday, I'm going to do a thing called Fire Drill Fridays, where me and my friends and different activists and things take part in some civil disobedience and get arrested and to try and draw attention to the climate crisis. And the book's really good, actually. It's about like why she did that. There's a bit of her history of being a very kind of a political activist as well. Like, I mean, going back to like the Hanoi Jane thing in the 70s. And then also crucially for the book, it breaks down the Green New Deal into really accessible, understandable actions that need to be taken. And it has a lot of input and essays from climate activists and scientists and things like that. So I really, really recommend it, actually. It's great. I know it is a celebrity book and that, but I think she's good at just like getting things across in quite a simple way. And if you like Jane Fonda, you'll like her voice in this book. So yeah, recommend that. And don't think I've read anything else, actually. Those are the two that I was reading. But so I watched Ghost. I rewatched Ghost, which is, I think, just one of my favorite films ever. I absolutely love Ghost. And I think, like, have you seen it now?
Yeah, not for a long time.
I think, like, no matter how many times I watch it, because that was a film I would have watched a lot with my mom when I was younger. No matter how many times I watch it, I like, you just really do forget how funny Whoopi Goldberg is in it. Like, it's completely her film. Like, she's so, so funny. So I really enjoyed that. Watched that on Wednesday when we put up the Christmas or the Halloween decorations, rather. And then last night, continuing on the films that I watched as a child that weren't films for children, but I loved anyway, I watched Speed with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. And it's genuinely like just one of my favorite films, and I just forgotten how good it is.
It's good. It's fun, so good. Isn't it? It's good fun.
It's such good fun, and like everyone's having so much fun in it. Like, what's your man's name who plays the villain in it? I can't remember his name. He's like the bomber guy. He's like, put the bomb on the bus.
The villain in Speed?
Oh, he's so good. He's such a good villain. And
yeah. Dennis Hopper.
So good. Yeah, the thing that I'd forgotten that is so good in it is the music in it is so, so good. And I was watching it and I was like, if I close my eyes if somebody played this theme in a quiz and was like, identify what this is from, I would have 100% said it was from the 1990s PlayStation game Time Crisis, because it's that level of like corniness and cheesiness, and it's like just cops doing cop things, and oh, it's so good. It's so, so good. Keanu Reeves is a baby in it as well. He's an absolute baby. And so is Sandra Bullock, actually. But I mean, like, look, if you haven't seen Speed in a really long time, it is just as good as you remember it. It's just as fun as you remember it. It's great. So tonight's film is Twister, which is another film that I watched a lot as a kid and, like, you know, just taped off the taped off the TV. And I think, yeah, I think that the
I've
the
never
films,
seen Twister, so I might.
Yeah, Niall, watch it before next week's podcast and we'll talk about it next week because you will love Twister. I when I was texting you last night, I said that Twister is basically Speed, but instead of a bus, there's a tornado. And that's basically what it is. It's fantastic. It's absolutely brilliant. So that's tonight. And then, yeah, I'll have to think of more of those kind of things for over the weekend because we're not quite into spooky season yet. I can't be watching my horror films until October.
Get all the fun stuff out of the way first.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like 8 Purge films in a row. like just all the Kubricks. Oh, it's going to be great. I'm so excited for October.
Well, my housemate is trying to get me to watch the original TV show, well, The Shining, the 1995 TV version of The Shining.
Oh, yeah, you should absolutely watch that. That's fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's brilliant. That's the one that Stephen King likes because, King liked the Kubrick one, but he just said it wasn't his book, which is fair, I think. But have you read The Shining?
No, I haven't actually.
It's great. It's really great. It's very, very good. But it is different to the Kubrick film. But it's more like the TV show, definitely. I think he might have been involved, was he? Or he might have been...
I feel like he was.
Consulted or something on it, yeah.
Consulted, not insulted, for once, yeah.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So. I love King, though. He's great. I think that's all my stuff. Oh no, sorry, I've an album. I've been listening to...
You made an album?
Big news, guys. My electronic country album is coming out soon. No, I've been listening to... Do you know the film Submarine that Richard Ayoade adapted
and
directed?
Yeah, you love this film. Yeah, yeah.
I love that film.
I know it because you love it.
Yeah. So Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys did the soundtrack for it. And he's got, I think, 5 original songs on it. And I always forget that they exist. And then I remember and then I listen to it like over and over and over again. But yeah, I've been listening to the soundtrack for that film, which are those 5 songs from Alex Turner. And like if anyone out there likes the Arctic Monkeys and The Last Shadow Puppets and that and hasn't listened to those songs, like absolutely get on it because I think they're really, really fantastic songs. And this week, whenever I needed a little break from Sufjan, I'd throw those on. They're really great. So yeah, those are all my recommendations, I think, yeah.
Very good. I watched The Social Dilemma, that film that's on Netflix about how bad social media is for you.
I watched that too. It's good.
It's an interesting watch. Yeah, I know most of it. I'm not sure if I like the style of it, but it was interesting because it has the whole... It kind of dramatizes some of the ideas in it in an interesting way. With the guy from Mad Men.
Yeah. Okay. So I really liked that whole thing. Like it could have really pissed me off. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's basically like they're explaining through a dramatization how algorithms recommend adverts to you in your social media. So they have like 3 little guys in a computer and they're like, oh, he just arrived at school. Let's send him a notification. And then they send off a notification and it's all very like Minority Report, like big screens and moving things around. It's super, super cheesy, but it is Pete. Is it Pete? Is that his name in Mad Men?
I don't know what his real name is. What's my name?
Yeah, I don't know his real name, but it's that guy from Mad Men and he's playing like all 3 of them. And it's actually really funny and really charming. Vincent Kartheiser, there you go. I really like him. He's a great actor. But when I first saw it, when that first happened, I was like, oh God, oh no, I'm going to hate this. And then actually I just leaned into it and I was like, I quite like it actually.
Yeah, good.
It's super corny.
I haven't done it yet, but there's talk of maybe trying to finish the entire Sopranos in this weekend. I don't know.
How much do you have left?
I basically have 24 hours left of Sopranos, like 24 episodes.
Mate, that's so doable.
Oh, I know. it is and it isn't, but like, it's a big commitment. I'd actually love to get to the end, because I've literally been watching The Sopranos since April, first week in April or something like that. Like, not every week, but not every day or anything like that, but
it'd be a nice way to close off the summer, like, because it's something that you started at the beginning of summer, you can end it now and then move on to anything.
Do you know what I really want to watch again? Fargo, the TV show.
Three
seasons, because the fourth season's coming back, and I'd really love to watch the first three. Yeah, the fourth season's coming soon. And I really like the serial aspect of it. It's better than it had any right to be. Other than that, I've been listening to the Tape Notes podcast, which is kind of like a UK John Kennedy presents it, talks to artists and producers about an album that they worked on. The ones I listened to were Georgia and Caribou, both very interesting. You get a lot of background details into how somebody makes an album, how those artists make an album, with the Georgian one and Mark Ralph, it's more about, you know, she's bringing music to him and what the role of producer is in that kind of modern context. I found that quite interesting. I've been listening to a lot of that this week. So I would recommend that. There's quite a lot of people involved and episodes of that to listen to, so I would recommend it. That's mainly me this week, I think.
Me too.
Nothing major otherwise. And just listen to the Salt album a lot. Listen to the Salt album, SAULT. Untitled Rise is the second one. So seeing as the copy of the album arrived during the podcast, I actually did buy the second one last Friday, so apparently I'll get it before Christmas. So there we go. Quicker than Jay Paul anyway. 15 months. But we got it.
No, we didn't.
I played it. You got it. It's there for you. It's there for me.
Yeah, it's here. It's in the country at least.
Will they post it out to you?
I don't know. I might ask. Yeah, I think I will. Oh, God.
Okay. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Niall. Thank you, podcast listeners.
Podcast 106, recorded for the first time in before lunchtime, which is maybe the first time we've ever done this.
Yeah. What are you going to have for your lunch, Niall?
What am I going to have for my lunch? I'm going to have... So there's this thing called a black bean rayu. Have you had the brand? Katie Sanderson does it.
No, don't think so.
She does these peanut rayus and... what is it called? What is the actual brand called? Masu. Yeah, white masu. Well, she's doing a black bean chili one and it goes fantastic on eggs. And I love condiments. Yummy. Big fan of condiments.
Me too.
Go for them. That on eggs is my jam. So
excellent. Yeah. I'm going to have a Lidl focaccia and I'm very excited about it.
Very good.
Maybe more brack.
More Baron Brack. You lean into your autumnal vibes.
I'm in. I'm fully in.
You're going to just turn into leaves soon.
Yes. Yes. It is me, a pile of leaves.
Okay. Andrea, thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week. We're going to finish. Why not? We finish with CMAT and I Want to Be a Cowboy Baby. Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.